You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim on the 405. We have a very interesting show today. Carrie Facer is with us. Now, Carrie and his partner have created a wealth management company that is just astounding. And their business plan with meeting with folks who are 3 to 5 years away from retirement, especially in Fortune 1000 companies here in Orange County, and helping them do what's necessary to get what they want from their retirement. Now, Carrie's passion is building personal relationships with his clients, and he helps them to articulate their financial plans with the long term in mind. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you.
So tell us, Carrie, tell us a little bit about what Warren Street Advisors is about. What are some of your core values?
Well, Warren Street Wealth Advisors, I don't know how much history you'd like, but I'll just start and you can give me the nod when to stop. Blake Street and myself formed Warren Street Wealth Advisors in 2015. We're what's called a registered investment advisory firm, RIA. We are located in Tustin. We have a team of size of 7, and we help clients prepare for and transition into retirement, and that is on the private wealth side. And then we also help clients on the corporate retirement side, small businesses 5 to 100 with their own 401k and pension plans. But you said something about core values. Do you want to know?
Well, I want to know, what are the core values? What is it that causes you to get up in the morning and get to work?
Well, it's the very first core value is client's best interest first. And I know it's easier said than done, but we actually practice it. And we ask our team all the time, when we're working on a project is, how does this help a client? And one of our firm's, goals is to assist 1,000 households. And it becomes real easy when you look at 1,000 households and clients' best interest. So that is our strongest core value of our – I mean, we really have 6, honesty, integrity, and have passion, understand the value of reputation, be accountable, and have fun. Have fun is there on purpose. We started this business to create balance between work and our lives. And one of the core values we do practice is having fun while we work and also with our clients.
Well, as you begin to think about your clients and what they want to be doing, talk a little bit about what you've discovered. What do people want? This whole idea of retirement to do. Do you agree with me that that's really a fantasy?
Yeah, we see clients who are most successful to transition, whether it's being an employee of a company or the owner of a company. It makes no difference. But transitioning away from their career and into some next chapter. And that next chapter has to be defined. We ask our clients, in fact, I had this conversation the other day. One of the first questions I was talking to was a prospective client. I said, you want to retire? I said, what's the first thing you're going to do? And he says, well, I need to get all my accounts. I said, no. What are you going to do? And he said, well, I like to restore cars. And I said, really? I like to restore cars. I just bought a 1973 Trans Am. He says, you're kidding me. I'm restoring a 1973 Trans Am. So long story short, we become pretty close on, activities outside of the work we do for him. But it's important for clients to define what they want to do in that next chapter, because I think sitting around each month watching shows and waiting for your next retirement check to come in is not healthy.
Well, I just got a brand new book from Simon Sinek. You know Simon?
Not personally.
He wrote a book called Start with the Why.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a TED Talk on it. But his whole point is that people are unconscious about why they do things, and because of that, sometimes they get lost in just doing things because they have to. And so his point is, let's start with the why. And it sounds to me like that's something about what you're helping your clients do, is to come up with what's their big why.
Yeah, it's important. It's important not just for our clients, important for our team, our family, our relationships is why do we do the things that we do? What's the real reason, the purpose behind it? And to ask a client that is, we get asked about robo-advisors, and robo-advisors are the Betterments and the Wealthfronts and the do-it-yourself online platforms. And we pride ourselves by knowing more about our clients' personal lives and financial matters than any other professional relationship they have. That is our goal. And with that, we also want to build 1,000 households that we love working with. And we have an informal conversation about this in the office, but our goal is that if somebody walks into the office unannounced, and we have an open door policy, stop by any time, that we're excited to see them. And if we're excited to see them, then we did a great job at defining who we want to work with. And the client is also hopefully excited to see us as well, and the reason they're popping in. We would not want the door to open and have to cringe and go, oh no, it's a client. Hi, everybody, hide. The client's here. And defining the why with the client early on is important to make sure that they're aligned with what it is that we can help them achieve. And if they've never gone through that process before, then it simply starts with the question is, why do you want to retire?
Well, it seems to me that one of the things that you were doing is you were helping a client articulate what they want to be doing.
Exactly.
And it might mean that they can start doing that right now.
They can.
And so that's where I see that your company as a wealth advisor might be even more than wealth, parentheses, money.
Mm-hmm.
It might be this life of abundance, this life of a rich life, a wealthy life. And to me, at least from my perspective, that life can be with very little money or with
Absolutely.
A whole lot of money.
Absolutely. It isn't, you know, all the money in the world will not solve anyone's problems. If it did, you would see the wealthiest of wealthy be the happiest people on earth. They're not. Try to find or think of the person that's happiest person you can think of. And I can almost guarantee it's not to do with the size of their accounts. It isn't. And so it's important to identify that, because what good is all this money if we don't know what it's for and what purpose it really causes? And the currency itself is to trade for something. And what is that something? It isn't about the money. It's about what it can get you or provide for you and do for you in that next chapter.
And Dan Sullivan talks about the whole notion of living in abundance rather than living in scarcity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wonder, Walt, you tell me, how many of your clients come to you living in this world of need to rather than want to?
Quite a bit. I think, my wife gives me grief about it, but everything kind of comes down to that 80-20 rule sometimes, and then I try to surprise her and say, well, maybe it's 50-50 on this one, but the 80-20 rule, if you look at it, I think that, you know, the majority, let's just say, of the population comes to us, and they're not quite sure what they're doing, and some of them have been, I'll use their words, but stuck in a career for 35 or 40 years and not really too sure why they're doing it. They're just in the motions of the day-to-day.
Because they need to.
Because they need to, exactly. And they need to. I need to buy a home. I need to save in my 401k. I need to retire. But why? Why do you need a home? Do you need a home?
Because if I don't, then
something scary or bad will happen to me.
That's the scarcity mentality,
absolutely.
Right? And then it becomes very competitive.
Yep.
And I'm then at retirement, then there's got to be a lot of terror that people bring with them when they come talk to you.
A ton of terror. The stuff we hear is really surprising, and everything from, the election was the last big one, was what's going to happen to our accounts now that we have a new president? And what about this? You know, every day it's a new, a new tweet that will either, you know, spook the consumer or the market, and how's that going to affect us? And it's surprising. But these are things that we have to pay attention to, because our clients look to us for this. We need to be that shepherd for them to say, it's going to be okay. Here are the three or four things to think about. Here are the things we're thinking about. But don't panic.
Don't panic, because
we've seen this before. It's abundance.
Well,
we've seen
abundance.
This. Yes, this isn't the first time we've had a terror attack. This isn't the first time we've gone to war. This isn't the first time we've had a president that was very unpopular.
And we not only have we survived, we thrived.
We've thrived, exactly. You know, if you look back, we live in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. We really do. I mean, you can get a flat screen for $200, and you can get a really nice box lunch from Taco Bell for $5, and it's made in a matter of moments. I mean, it's a great time to be alive. The resources are abundant.
Well, while I was watching last week, great tragedy in Houston, But it was very clear to me, growing up in Texas now, it was very clear to me that the response of the entire state of Texas to the difficulty in Houston and all around Houston was going to be a very, very different response from what we saw at Katrina. Did you notice it?
Yeah, the one video I've seen the most that really resonated with me, and it you know gets you that lump in the throat, was there's a huge, in one of these videos that's you know everywhere, has a line of trucks and boats all waiting to go out and help. And then I heard on NPR, I heard a homeowner feeling devastated, stuck, lost, scared, worried until he saw the first boat coming down his street. And he said the amount of relief and joy he got from seeing that boat coming up the street was at that moment was everything to him. And then seeing, going back to the video, that line of them, everybody willing to pitch in, jump in, and help one another was wonderful to watch.
One of my very close friends, Gene Jennings, when I lived in South Texas with him, whenever there was a hurricane, and we had tropical storms and hurricanes regularly in Texas and South Texas coming in, but the moment that was imminent, he began to call 18-wheel trucks and load them up with ice.
Yep.
And all he was doing was waiting to aim them. I mean, that's what people in Texas do.
Sure.
And now that's not, I mean, that's not because you somehow
you have a
drink
little home,
the water
you have
Texas.
A little home state bias. I will say the entire country would do that.
Well, but we didn't see it in other places.
That's fair, and those are two different situations and circumstances
well,
and events, but hopefully we learned from
the
previous.
That whole notion, to me, it's that whole notion of an entrepreneurial attitude. It's that we can not only survive this, but we can thrive.
Exactly.
We can take what we have and share with others because there's more where that came from.
Right. And it's unfortunate. I don't know if there is a term for this, but it's like that stop sign in a residential neighborhood that was never there, and you have to wait for a kid on a bike to get hit before the city will put one up. And unfortunately, we're seeing that, you know, these storms that come in are a recurring occurrence. And I hope that this is one where, you know, enough people get motivated to say, well, how do we prevent this from happening? And can we? Or we don't, and let's just prepare for the next one. And I hope something comes from this other than just devastation and a repeat event in 100 years or 200
well,
years.
I want to tie that back to the notion of retirement.
Sure.
Someone comes to you, and retirement can be seen as a trauma. This is the end of my productive
life. Yeah, this is the beginning of the end. Yeah, this is not the next chapter. It's the last chapter.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and maybe it's the end of the last chapter.
Right.
Maybe there is no life for me after this.
Absolutely. There's a big fear. We do quite a bit of work, repeat work in a couple of niches locally. And one is Southern California Edison, the other is Chevron. And there's this fear that we hear, it's very, very common, is I'm going to retire and then I'm going to pass away in the first 2 or 3 years of retirement because I know so-and-so, he was a good friend of mine, and that's what happened to him, and that's what I'm worried about. And there's a lot of time and energy spent worrying about that, as opposed to being focused on the abundance of opportunities and what those next chapters could be for someone.
Well, now, what I have heard myself say over and over to people when they bring up the word retirement is I just say to them, there is no such thing as retirement. There's two things. There's either what's the next project or death.
Maybe. I disagree a little bit with you on this. We've talked about this in years past, is you think retirement's a myth. I think retirement's a real thing. But I do think there needs to be a little asterisk next to that. It says, what are you going to do with your retirement? Hopefully it's you know, number one thing is always travel. Everybody wants to travel, travel, travel. And then relationships. A lot of our clients want to keep the relationships strong. And so they ask, what's the best state to retire in? And we can tell you financially, you know, the states with no state income tax and cost of living. But really it comes down to weather and relationships are the two key anchors that will determine where somebody wants to be in retirement. And so we want our clients to work on those. But I do think that the retirement is a real thing where someone can retire and they don't have to work or be another project or be an entrepreneur, but there needs to be something. I think it needs to be something, whether it's coaching their grandkids full time. There just needs to be something there, writing the book they've always wanted to write, some lofty idea that keeps them focused every day.
Well, I was with two people last week who are at a particular pivotal time of their lives, and I mean, they've been tremendous successes in their enterprise. And one of them said, I am moving to create the opportunity for entrepreneurs 18 to 24, mm-hmm. that whole group of lost people who get crammed into college because that's the next thing to do.
Sure.
And they get lost.
Yeah.
But their entrepreneurial spirit, if there were a curriculum and a place, a community, a support that equally strong as a collegiate community to help them get in touch with all these things that they are so uniquely gifted to do.
Yeah.
Well, that one guy who's been very successful said, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And his partner said, I have 11 grandkids. I am going to be spending more time with my grandkids.
Yeah.
Those are two projects
mm-hmm.
that I have no doubt that those two will live well beyond what is expected for somebody who is leaving something
yep.
and going to something new.
Our gym right now, I just thought of this, is the owner of the gym we go to handed us a sheet on Friday last week, said, what's your why? And there's like five or six lines. He said, just go and put down your why. And I've done this before in years past, specifically to exercise. People think I like exercising. I do not like exercising. I don't. I finally found something that works for me, and it's my thing. So they're like, okay, good. I have to stick to it. It's a system. You know all about this. And I do want to talk about that. But it was, what is your why? And one of the things I can remember as a kid that I'm most fond of is my mom's dad, my grandfather, used to come to a baseball game every once in a while. And that was for me. I mean, I didn't care if I was sitting on the bench or playing right field. I knew I was going to get a moment to where he's going to see me on the field. And that was huge. And so they said, what's your why? And I said, I don't want to miss any of the grandkids' baseball games. Now, it might not be baseball. It's not going to be one of those things. But I want to make sure I can get to those events. I want them to have that same experience that I had as a kid. So that's the reason I go to the gym when I don't want to. I need to stay in shape. I need some purpose, cause, passion beyond just, oh, I want large biceps. That's not my why. I could care less.
Right.
And I just want to be fit or healthy and try to prevent. And, you know, I've talked to a good friend of mine who's a physician. He's a orthopedic surgeon. And he said, you know, it isn't so much that you want to be in great shape in your 80s and 90s, but what you want to do is try to push out that 10 to 15 years where it gets rough and try to defer it by 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. So rather than coming in your 50s and 60s, maybe it starts coming in your 70s and 80s. So when you're 50 or 60, you can start, you know, actually doing the things you want to do. Because if here now you're retired, you have all this money you've saved, you're getting ready to retire, and you want to travel, and you can barely get on and off the plane.
Absolutely.
What good is all that money? Who cares about it?
Right.
It's sad, but so that's the part I do get excited about, is hearing clients talk about some of these other things that this money becomes, you know, the fuel for.
Well, I want to push a little bit further beyond that.
Sure.
But can you stick around a little bit? We're going to take a break here to hear some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the Pilgrim on the 405 and Carrie Facer from Warren Street Advisors.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Never ask for the order. Make the prospect give up. Always ask for the order is the salesperson's 11th commandment. You know, the one that just dropped right off the tablets. Never ask for the order goes completely against traditional selling methods. If you don't ask for the order, how will you ever know when the customer is going to buy? Well, think about it. The only person who can really ask for the order is the prospect. Find the prospect's emotional needs first. Provide the answers to meet these needs, and you'll discover that the prospect will give up and ask you for the order. And that's another tip from Sandler Training. finding power through reinforcement.
Well, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405, and we are walking along the 405 today with Carrie Facer, one of the founding partners of Warren Street Wealth Advisors, and we're talking about this whole notion of wealth and abundance and what it means as this huge, huge number of people in the, what is it, the boomer generation,
yeah.
right? They're
yep.
moving toward this, you want to call it retirement, but I think they're moving toward this pivotal point in their lives where they're making choices.
Absolutely,
right?
yeah.
And so talk a little bit about what happens when they get to that place where they discover that it's not scary, it's not scarcity, and it's abundance, and it can be filled with joy and fulfillment.
Sure, it is a challenge because one, you know, relationships. So if we have a client, husband and wife, let's say, and they haven't spent enough time around each other or this much time around each other, it's a very common question. It's in our planning. It says, are you worried about spending too much time together? And it's not, there's not any ill intent behind it. But if someone doesn't have enough to do, they can start to turn on themselves and even maybe a partner. We don't want to see that happen. We really want to help our clients define, you know, what the next 35, 40 years. And we have a long enough vision. You know, some clients come in with retirement and they're thinking 5 or 10 years. And we'll share with them, we want to partner with you for the next 40 plus. Let's talk about what that's going to look like. And that's also a misconception, is that we're retirement planners. And so someone will call us and say, I need to retire. Can you help me with that? And like, it's a 6-month project. And we've in the past shied away from that, because it's not what we do. It's just not. And to the point where we'll spend quite a bit of time in the beginning sharing with clients in our establishment stage is saying, you know, let's talk about these things. Our firm, Warren Street, is prepared to work with you and your family for the next 40 plus years. Are you? And this is sometimes the first time where they've actually got out of their, you know, day-to-day to-do list to really look out that far. And I love watching that happen.
Well, do you ever help people to recognize the value, the tremendous value that they can bring to other relationships, to organizations, through not only financial philanthropy, but through volunteering or sharing or becoming board members or even foot soldiers?
Yeah, we have. And selfishly, I'm one of the types that's, you know, do first, then advise. And so when clients ask us, what would you do? We're prepared for that as an organization, because we eat our home cooking, and my investment account looks just like a client's account would. I mean, we have the same investments, but in different proportions. You know, I might have a little more risk than a client who's retired, but I'm going to own the same, you know, international fund. So when we're talking to a client about these things and we're trying to figure out, you know, where it is they want to go, we have to build essentially a tool and a ship, as we say sometimes, that'll navigate all courses for, you know, these 30, 40 plus years. I forgot your question, Will. What were you asking me?
What about volunteering? What about sharing?
There we go.
With people?
I go, there was something else we were talking about before I got into the weeds on the stuff.
Me, yeah. Well, to me, we can get so caught up with the money part of it.
Yeah.
And while that's important, to me, the real wealth that especially somebody in Orange County, the real wealth that we have here is our entrepreneurial experience,
yep.
The ups and downs, our ability to share with other people what we have learned in the 40, 50 years that we have done our own experiment.
Exactly, and that's where I was trying to go before I lost my thought. But it was what do you do? And they always ask us, well, how are you invested? How do you manage your money? What do you do about emergency reserve debts? What's the rule of thumb for this amount? How much should I be saving? What should I do with the mortgage? Should I pay it off? Should I leave it? And so we like to practice what we preach. And so what we share with them is, well, this is what we've done. We've made all the mistakes. We've seen clients make mistakes. We've taken the decades of combined experience, and this is what we see works best. So you can try to do it on your own, or we can share with you what we think works. And one of those things you talked about is what to do with your time and volunteering. And one of the things that I lacked is giving back to the community. And my wife leads this cause for our household, and she does a lot of charitable work with the Assistance League in Orange. And it's the Orange Blossoms is their chapter. And they do the local Taste of Orange every year, and I'd say she's the number two or three kind of in charge over there. And she's, for 6 or 7 years, been working her tail off every year to secure restaurants to come to the Taste of Orange. What it does is it gives back, every dollar gives back to 5 local charities in Orange, and that's really where she gets fulfilled in that arena. And I show up the day of or day before and help set up and tear down and do whatever I can to help her in the day-to-day. But as an organization, Blake and I have talked a lot about this, is what can we do as an organization to give back? And I'm excited to announce that next year we're going to be starting Mustache for Kids. And there's actually a chapter in Omaha. You can look it up. It's Mustaches for Kids. It's an Omaha chapter. And they're really the flagship chapter in the country. And it's when you go to the site, it looks like a joke, but it's very real. They raised almost $500,000 last year between 177 growers, they call them. And the growers all raised about $2,000 each. If you do that math, it's pretty straightforward. But they're getting a lot of attention. And I could not shake that for the last 2 years of what they were doing. And a good friend of mine, George Figuera, is a big advocate there. And I kept calling him. I said, George, I can't get rid of this Mustache for Kids thing. I can't shake it. I want to open an Orange County chapter. And so he finally put me in touch with the person to do that. And we're very excited that in April we're going to be launching this. And so I am asking everyone listening that we do need growers. And so if you're interested in that, you can contact us. And
Is Mustaches for Kids?
Yeah, so Mustaches for Kids is every year they find a local or any charity they want. This year we've decided to go with Make-A-Wish. And Make-A-Wish, and so what we have is a 6-week grow that you can get sponsored on. So there'll be a clean shave date. Everybody arrives to the Stash Bash is the official final event. But everybody arrives to clean shave with a clean shaven face. And there's a 6-week contest, essentially, and there's all kinds of, ridiculous trophies that are awarded for, you know, best mustaches. And then you raise awareness, and everyone's going to be asking you, Will, why do you have a mustache? It's what's going on. You got about a 3-week. Well, I'm raising money for Make-A-Wish this year. You can go to Will's page, and you'd have your own page, and you could raise money and donate to the cause. And there's all sorts of fun events built around this. And but we finally have found, you know, like exercise, I finally found something that will work for me, mm-hmm. that I can be excited about and passionate and give back to local charities. And again, it's all for kids. And so we think Make-A-Wish, it's going to be Make-A-Wish this year. And then next year we'll be looking for the next cause. Yeah. So we're
so
excited about
you're
that.
You're growing mustaches. And 10 years ago I was doing 100-mile bike rides.
There you go. Yes. You found something you can get behind.
That's
and
right.
as silly as a thing it is to grow a stash in April, that's what we'll be doing to raise awareness.
And that to me is what this thing called post-job, retirement is about, is about giving back, taking all the things that I am and can be and becoming more.
Exactly.
And that's enormous.
We've gotten to the point now to where we have a successful business with talented people and some stability, and we've been growing like crazy, which is fantastic. But there is a little bit of that is where we build the 10-year vision. We look at that, and I'm already starting to look out, well, what's the 20-year? What's the 30-year? And if you're Stephen Hawking, you're looking at what's the 1,000-year goal of getting off planet Earth? We run out of resources. And if you take a look at those, it starts to give you just the extreme amount of clarity on what you're trying to do with your day, and having those clear visions of, you know, whether it's our annual goal, our 3-year, 5-year, 10-year, or our 100-year goal as a company, those really make small decisions simple sometimes, because we always ask ourselves in the office on a particular subject topic, I don't care what it is, will this work for 1,000 households? And we currently have about 170 households. Will this work for 1,000? We can quickly answer a lot of those times questions and say, no, it will not. Then we'll just move on. Or yes, this works with 1,000 households, which means it'll work for 1 million, 100 billion, whatever the number is. It just makes it much simpler to know where you're going.
So I'm getting the sense that you've got this large goal. So what is your core target, your 10-year goal?
Yeah, our 10-year goal is to be $1 billion under management working with 1,000 households. in 1,000 households. Again, we're at 170 today. We have $91 million under management today. And while we're still considered a small company in this country, the exciting thing is that a year ago or a year and a half ago, in January of 2016, we were at $50 million under management, about 90 households. So we've gone from 50 to 91 in less than 2 years. We're on track to double this year in 2 years, so that's incredible. And I got to attribute you on some of that, by the way.
Well, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you. So for the listeners, I've known Will for, well, how long have we known each other? Has it been 9 years?
At least.
Okay. So 9 years, I got started in the business with MassMutual, and I was a struggling salesperson trying to sell investments and insurance. And I went to a rah-rah, you know, annual conference for MassMutual, and there David Mattson was there speaking about Sandler. And I thought, out of 300 people, I felt like he was speaking directly to me. And I went up and talked to him afterwards, and I said, I need more of this. I'm struggling. I'm begging people to buy, you know, a 20-year term policy for $18 a month, and they're telling me no thanks. I said, this is terrible. This is a terrible business to be in. And it really was, and I was struggling. So he said, well, why don't you find a local Sandler office? And I did. And that's how I met Will and Scott. And Will was really a pioneer, no pun intended, with the Pilgrim. But no, in helping me get clear about what it was I wanted to do. And, you know, the questions he'd say, are you committed to this industry, this business? Are you committed to sales? And I am. And I was. And then it was just about understanding what it is that the client really needs and what do I want to provide, which actually led me to breaking away and leaving MassMutual and forming my own firm. And it's still an independent contractor going on and starting on the RIA with Blake was the next step, but it was a step in the right direction. And it goes back to, you know, client's best interest first is really identifying, am I at the right place where I can do the best thing for my client that I truly believe is the best thing for them? And so that led to, you know, 7 years, I believe, with Sandler. And then about two and a half years ago, Will called and said, hey, you're doing great. How's the organization? And at the time, it was good, but not great. And he said, well, let's talk a little bit about your operating system. And that is the EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System, that we have now been using for over 2 years. And I will give Will credit for this because it is due. It was a huge game changer for us. I know that without that, we would not have had the growth and the organizational efficiencies that we have today without it. And so, thank you.
Well, and we have to give credit to Gina Wickman and Don Penny for putting this great system together, because it really has helped. It has helped over 5,000 companies today.
Yeah, we were in New York a couple weeks ago doing a breakaway series with Asset TV, and the host of that's Josh Brown, and he's the Reform Broker is his handle on most social media, but he has 800,000 followers on Twitter. I think I have six, and I think four of them are my mom. So he has a large audience, and we were mentioning EOS during that, and we've mentioned EOS in years past. And it's kind of one of those things where it's not common nomenclature yet where everybody knows EOS. But it's been interesting because we say, oh, we do these meetings once a week. And they go, what's that? And they go, oh, they're level 10s. And they go, what's the level 10? And people are curious. They want to know. And so they're 90-minute meetings that we do. They're based around the framework that, you know, started with a huge project in the very beginning. And the common thing is, I've been hearing about EOS. What is that? And we even got that back in New York. Somebody in the studio, actually the gentleman running the event for the series, said, I've been hearing that as well, EOS, EOS, EOS. And so for 2.5 years now, it's been that's what we use as an operating system. And it makes our day-to-day world much simpler to understand and organize, to where now if somebody comes to us with a fire issue, is it a fire? If it's not, we'll throw it on the issues list, and Blake and I will discuss it Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And now the rest of the company knows that, and they go, oh, I've got this thing I want to talk to you about. Great, can I wait till Thursday? Yeah, no problem. Perfect. We'll discuss it on Thursday. And if it comes up as one of the three things we're going to discuss that week, we will discuss it. If not, then it's going to have to be outside of those meetings, because that's where it needs to land, or else it just becomes a mess every day with you know, thousands of fires that come up.
That's certainly one of the long term goals. I mean, the core, I think it was the 10-year goal at one point, but for EOS worldwide, it's 10,000 companies running on the entrepreneurial operating system.
And by the way, I'm happy to say we're one of them.
Well, that's great. And for me, it's 50 in the next 3 years. And so I believe that helping companies to clarify their vision and share it with all, to get really clear about what their purpose, cause, passion is, and getting clear what their 10-year goal is, and then giving them the system for running the company that will create mutual accountability and help them to have a lot more fun working together, more productive.
Absolutely.
And so that's good. So tell me a little bit about as you look forward in California. California is a unique place.
It is.
I've often talked to people about doing business in Alaska. I mean, if one were to do business in Alaska, you don't do a lot of whining about the weather.
Yes.
You just learn how to thrive in that. And so, likewise, in California, I think there's lots of things here that people can whine about if they want to. At the same time, we have people moving in, more people moving in than moving out. So talk to me a little
bit. Weather and relationships, back to what we mentioned earlier to the clients, is California is an amazing place to live. Sure, is there traffic? Absolutely. But guess what? You don't have to commute an hour and a half every day if you don't want to. Are you willing, though, to uproot and move closer to work? Or are you willing to find work closer to home? That might be a short-term pain for long-term reward. And those are some of the things that we talk to our staff about, our clients about. But California is an incredible place. My family moved here in the 40s, late 40s and 50s from Alabama and Michigan on both sides. And they came here because of weather. And ask anybody who's come to California and who's from a part of the country or world that has weather, real weather, and they'll say, "No, you come here for the weather." And we, you know, it's I'm looking outside from this building here, and it's clear skies, it's blue. And this weekend we were out at the Colorado River with some friends, and my in-laws have had a place out there for almost 30 years, and it's a single wide trailer near the water, and it's perfect. But about an hour on Saturday, this dust storm came in and just about wiped everything out. And we're only talking 3 hours away from where we live here, and the weather is that different. One of our friends who's from Alaska was there over the weekend as well, and she was sharing with us about what Alaska's like to live in. And there's days where you don't have telephone communication and internet, of course, to where you're so disconnected that now people from Southern California travel to Alaska to experience that because they want to disconnect. Mm-hmm. And so you have to weigh what's important to you and then try to set up those behaviors to let your lifestyle be one that is enjoyable and you know.
Well, this has been fun. This has been really fun, Carrie. So I'm wondering, what can you describe for me the people in the audience now who would find great joy and benefit coming to talk with you? What would they be like? How would they know that coming to your door would be a wonderful thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I believe that, and I've asked clients this in the past. I asked some of my best relationships I've had for many years, is why do you work with us? And the answer is actually simpler than I thought it would be. I thought it would be this really in-depth technical analysis they've done and why they chose us. But it comes down to I'm getting ready to retire. I have this next big chapter that is scary, and I'm worried about it, and I'm a little concerned. I need someone who can help me get into that next chapter without making a big mistake, and to make sure that my money will be taken care of and that I won't make the common mistakes that I keep hearing about. So I would say the person that's thinking about retirement, who is worried, frustrated, concerned, not sure, because the fear of the unknown is powerful, and I think we can give them a ton of clarity on what retirement really looks like, share with them some experiences we've had with clients that have retired successfully, and more important, share with them experiences that have not gone so well and why those didn't go well. And sometimes that answer is even simpler than one might think. And it's as simple as, you know, having a misstated budget, not knowing what their how much money they need in retirement. We can calculate everything else. We know how much the house, you know, is worth, what you owe on it. We know what your property taxes are. We can look at the IRAs and see what the account values are. We can do all those things. It's simple. But how much money you need? What does that next chapter look like? That's the most difficult thing. And we talked about this earlier, but it's just sometimes it's just spending a quiet hour writing things down and actually looking at it. And that's all it is just writing down your expenses in real world dollars. And that includes all the stuff. That's the pest control and the stock tax and the birthdays and the kids. You know, celebratory days when they, you know, make a goal in their Saturday soccer game. That cost a buck in our household, by the way. But is writing all those things down, because most of our clients want to retire with the exact same lifestyle they have today. And so I would say somebody who's unsure what all that looks like would be a great fit for us. And somebody who wants a trusted partner, somebody who doesn't think they know it all, right? And like us, we know what we do know, and we find partners for those areas that we don't. And who wants a partner relationship to work with for the next 40 plus years? And even the even better solution would be somebody that wants to make sure that their kids don't make any of the mistakes.
Excellent. Well, if someone were feeling those questions, anxieties, feeling the distant sound of the wind blowing at them.
Yeah.
How would they get in touch with you?
WarrenStreetWealth.com. WarrenStreetWealth.com.
You wouldn't answer your telephone if they called you.
Our number's right there on our website. It's real simple. Our website, you can get everything there. We've got ways to watch webinars and read some of the stuff we've produced. And we have quite a bit of resources there as well for people retiring. And even we've even built a checklist and a net worth scorecard. We even have a budget template. If somebody wants that, we can send them a copy of that. So
excellent. Excellent.
Yep.
Well, there's only 13,000 businesses in Orange County, so
yeah.
I think you have a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I want to plug one more thing. We've been talking a lot about private wealth, and one of the areas we've been helping the small businesses with is on the 401k side. And so with a 5 to 100 size company with strong growth and a real tax problem, which is why we'll be hosting an event next month for a bunch of CPAs, giving out an hour of CE away to help some of those CPAs learn what we can do to help small businesses who are growing, who have a tax problem, try to save a few bucks in taxes and defer some of that money, not only for themselves, but for all their employees for retirement.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for being with us, Kerry.
Thank you,
Will. It's been a lot of fun, and I look forward to working with you continuing in the future. This is the Pilgrim on the 405. Find things that will help you and your business thrive in Southern California.
Been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.